Welcome everyone to episode number 47 of the Average Ontario Anglers podcast. I almost said the name of the podcast that our guest is from, the CanCast podcast.
Yeah, I caught that.
Yeah, a little bit of a stutter at the beginning. It's because I'm reading the name on your hat there. It's all about CanCast, which is the main topic for today. And our guest is Kyle Carruthers. So before we get into Kyle's introduction, so you can say hi if you want. But
hey guys, how's it going? Thanks for having me on. I feel like pretty special actually to be on this show, I'm not going to lie, because I'm proud of you guys. I'm impressed. I'm impressed with the quality you're producing, the episodes, the work ethic. Like you guys are leaders, man. Like I'm pumped. Like this is cool. I'm happy for you guys. You're doing such a good job and like just keep up the good work. Like I'm honestly, I'm pretty pumped to be on here. And it's not often I'm on this side of a microphone ever. So this is cool.
Yeah, that's what we appreciate, all the high praise. That's awesome, man. As usual, we have our intro. We're going to start off with an interesting fishing fact, which Jesse has prepared for us. And then Kyle and I are going to tell him if he did a good job or not on it. So get your judging hat on, Kyle, and we'll see if Jesse's as good as not.
All right. So this interesting fishing fact is actually, it's not one of those ones where it's going to be hilarious like usual, but we actually had a Patreon member ask if we could do an interesting fishing fact on burbot, which is something me and Andrew were actually talking about earlier, because we're actually going fishing for burbot this Friday. So if you're listening to this podcast now, hopefully we've already caught burbot in the past. But burbot are such a weird fish, aren't they? Have you ever caught one, Andrew?
I've never caught one.
Yeah, they're such a weird, I haven't caught a lot of them myself. I have caught a few, but they're probably one of the most unique and interesting fish in Ontario, in my opinion. They're up there with bowfin for me. They're just like such a weird fish. They almost look like they're half fish, half eel. Pretty gross. Burbot, they're also known as ling cod or eel pout. You ever heard those?
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard ling cod before.
So if you're listening to this and you are like, what the heck are they talking about? What are they talking about? I have no idea whatsoever. So I'm going to kind of describe what a burbot is, because if you had never seen one of these things, you probably wouldn't even think that it would live in Ontario. It just seems like one of those weird fish you'd catch in the Amazon River or something like that. So burbot have a very unique appearance. They have elongated bodies. I remember the first one I caught, I was ice fishing, and when I had it, I was grabbing it, and its body kind of like wrapped around my arm, kind of like a snake or an eel. It's just so weird. And they're slimy, but they have long elongated bodies, single whisker-like barbels on their chin, and smooth, slimy skin. Sounds very appealing. And they range in colors. Like, it depends where you catch them, what time of year, but they often at times are olive brown or yellowish brown with dark, like, splotches all over them. So when you see one in person, they're actually very good-looking fish, like the skin anyway, as long as you don't look at the slime and the barbels and all that stuff. Now, there's a few cool facts about these fish. Now, they're all over Ontario. One of the main lakes that they're caught in, and actually we're going to get into the record, the Ontario record was actually caught in this lake, is Lake Simcoe. And Lake Simcoe is known especially for burbot fishing. It's right now, one of our buddies, who's a guide out there, he was posting this week, just giant burbot. I never knew they got this big, but we're going to get into that. One cool thing about burbot, though, is one of the best times to catch them is at night. So they're actually nocturnal feeders. They primarily are feeding at night under the cover of darkness. Oftentimes, we think of some fish like walleye, who are known to be nocturnal feeders, but you can still catch them during the day. Same with burbot. You can catch them during the day, but most of the time, they're preying on other fish, crustaceans like crayfish and other things like that at night. So that's one time that you'd want to catch them. Like some fish like lake trout, burbot are actually very adapted to cold water. So that's one of the reasons why they're very popular to catch when you're ice fishing. So you can, again, catch them in the summer, in the spring, in the fall, but they are very adaptable to the cold water and they do feed at winter. Now, one thing I found interesting, I know me and Andrew are talking about kind of spawning behavior of some of the fishes. Do you know, Andrew, what time of the year burbot spawn? Take a guess.
I'd guess spring.
Yes. Late winter, early spring. And the cool thing about them is they actually, it says, they oftentimes spawn while there's still ice on top of the lake. So they actually spawn in shallow areas with rocky gravel areas, and they do that under the ice, which is pretty cool. Now, I mentioned the Ontario record. Now, if you guys know what burbot look like, but what do you think is the weight of the Ontario record burbot that was caught in Lake Simcoe, by the way? What's your best guess, Kyle?
Okay, I don't know why 18 pounds is ringing a bell. I don't know why. Maybe that's way too small. All I know is that I need to learn about burbot. That's what this just kind of taught me.
What do you think, Andrew?
I would say, I was going to say, like, I like some weird numbers, but 15.8.
Ah, so you're both completely wrong. We're not even close.
Okay.
24?
Yes, 25.2 pounds.
Whoa.
Imagine that, this huge, this huge, like, eel-like slimy fish that's 25, like, that's how big salmon are. Salmon in Ontario. I'm not talking about Kyle's record salmon out in BC, but, you know.
No, it's a big fish. I wouldn't even touch that thing if I caught it. I don't do snakes and eels and that.
That's what it is, basically. It's a snake eel that swims. It's pretty much like one of the weird mystical creatures that Andrew comes up with. So you may think, how do you catch one of these things if you want to catch one? So since we're still in the winter, we're going to talk about ice fishing techniques. How are you going to catch them? These are popular methods. We'll go over really quick. One of them is jigging. That's how I caught my first burbot. I was actually jigging a vibrato, actually a pretty big one. And I was fishing for pike at the time. This burbot just came up and slammed. I thought I had a huge pike on until it came up because they really fight like really hard for their size. They put any bass like to shame, in my opinion. So you can fish with jigging spoons, jigging rapalas, vibratos, anything that is shiny and, you know, about 2-2.5 inches. And these things will smack them. They're not like bottom feeders. Like, you know, you can still catch catfish and stuff on lures, but they will actually aggressively attack lures, which is cool. And then one of the easiest ways to catch them is just with live bait. Oftentimes people will use a tip up or they'll have a rod set up with a minnow or other live bait that they can use. So if you've ever caught a giant 25 pound burbot or anything even bigger than 10 pounds, send us a message on Instagram. I would love to see that. But that is the interesting fishing fact. And we would like to thank our Patreon members for sending in suggestions. So back to Andrew.
All I could think of with that, as soon as you said they were nocturnal feeders, is just like a burbot doing his Batman voice, like, I'm burbot. So stupid.
I'd be afraid of that if I was a
Where are the other jigs going? So that's, you know, I did like that because I always like being edumacated about some cool species and whatnot. And burbot, they are a very cool looking fish. They are one of, you know, the fish I have been wanting to catch for a number of years. I've never actually targeted them. I've never put the effort to do so. It's just kind of one of those things where I hope I catch one randomly. But we're going to move on now because as exciting as burbot are and long slimy things, we're going to talk about something completely different. We're going to introduce Kyle with some awesome questions about something that is, it's huge. Don't get me wrong, but it's definitely not slimy and brown and spotted colored and whatnot. We're going to talk about CanCast. This is a huge event. Now, Jesse and I, we've mentioned it before on the podcast. I'm sure that anyone who's listened to us even this year has heard the name CanCast, the term. But a lot of people don't know the history of it. So that's why we have Kyle Carruthers on today. So first, let's give Kyle a chance to introduce himself. You can talk a bit about CanCast. We're going to be delve a lot into that. But tell us a bit about yourself for now.
Yeah, so I've been in the fishing industry now for like 10 years, basically. I'm part owner of a sales agency called Greywood Sporting Group here. We're in Canada. We go coast to coast with reps in every province, basically, and we handle some pretty massive brands. So my full-time job is we're dealing with Daiwa Fishing, Garmin, probably two names you guys are all very familiar with. So we handle all their sales and stuff for Canada, as well as Bubba, which is one of our brands also, that we newly acquired back in November, which is also the title sponsor of the CanCast Fishing Show, which we'll kind of get into that in a little bit. So I work full-time in the fishing industry. We also handle Under Armour Fish as well and their outdoor division. So yeah, needless to say, I don't have any problem staying busy. I spend a lot of time traveling all over North America for different events and meetings and product launches and dealer events and all that stuff, all sorts of other fishing shows. And I also do CanCast as well on the side, which kind of started off as a fun side project that quickly turned into a huge project. And it never was supposed to be that way, but one thing has kind of led to the other, and here we are. So yeah, I do a lot of talking about fish every day, all day, to the point where sometimes I don't even want to pick up a fishing rod because it just, you know what it's like when your hobby becomes your job. But deep down inside, I absolutely love it. And I love what I do. And honestly, I don't want to say, you know, like I'm one of the few lucky people but I think if you can find a job where you truly love what you do every day, even the bad days are good. And that's currently the situation I'm in. So that's nice. A little bit about me.
That's fantastic. So anyone who's watching this, they cued in on the fact that you work with Daiwa and then Jesse and I are wearing, you know, Daiwa hats. Jesse's got an Under Armour shirt on.
Did you plan this or just how it worked out?
I did. Although I have owned this for like 10 years before I even knew you existed. Yeah. So
hey, they make a good hoodie. They last a long time. I will give them that.
They do. So. Yeah.
And this is one of my favorite hats because Seth Vider signed this one.
Did he?
There we go. Yeah. Signed that at when he came to Gagnon's.
I'll get you a new one for the boat so you don't sweat through that one. So.
Perfect. Yeah. You know me so well.
He knows Andrew's one of those sweaty, slimy, eel-like creatures.
Well, when you guys have beards as good as yours, I know you're going to sweat a bit. Because I've been trying, like, since November, I just can't get it back. It's a little patchy and whatnot. But, hey, I know.
Join the club.
I got you covered, man. I got the hats covered. So.
All right. Fantastic. So we'll head into some of the main questions we have prepared. We also have, closer to the end, we have some really good listener questions that were submitted online. And we also have a cool giveaway that Kyle is putting forward. So we're going to get into that later on. Oh, there's a good teaser for all you visual listeners there. Visual listeners. I apologize. That did not make English sense. But so the first one, can you share the journey of how the Bowmanville tackle swap, which some people may know if they're in the know, that's kind of where the CanCast started, right? So how did CanCast evolve from what was the Bowmanville tackle swap?
Yeah, so the Bowmanville tackle swap was originally started by a friend of mine, Peter Cito. So Peter Cito, he's another rep in the industry. He reps for CG Emery and Streamside. He does some stuff for Zero. He's doing some work now with St. Croix. Anyways, great guy. He's been around the fishing industry for a long time. And he started this Bowmanville tackle swap. And before my time, even in the industry, I think he started it at one of the community halls, and it quickly grew from there to the Bowmanville Rickard Center. It was in kind of their banquet hall there. Then he moved it over to one of the high schools in Bowmanville. I think Peter was just busy in his personal life, and it just got a little big for even what he wanted to manage at the time, because Peter like really set the bar for tackle swaps in Ontario. Like he started it. Like this guy, like he did a fantastic job getting this thing off the ground, and he really set the bar high. And me and Peter were talking one day, and I kind of come from a trade show background. So before I was in this industry, I was in the power sports industry, but I also helped run the big snowmobile shows, the motorcycle shows, a whole bunch of different shows at the International Center. I would sell the booth space, the sponsors, all that stuff. I worked with the organization that owned it. So I had a lot of like trade show experience, and it's nothing against any of the shows that are on at the time. When I bought this show, the Sportsman show was kind of going downhill at the time. It's got a new promoter now. Mike's doing a fantastic job, really working on bringing that show back. But I just felt like there was maybe something missing, but I was also a young, eager kid at the time. And I'm like, well, maybe we can do this for the fishing industry. Maybe I can put a few bucks in my pocket and give back to the sport at the same time. So me and Peter came to an agreement, purchased the show, and kind of around that time, we found out, before I even did my first event, that we were not going to be allowed to use the high school the year after. So it was like, okay, so now I had no venue for the next year. Once again, the show was pretty big. It was a good hit, even if a snowstorm that day. Snowstorms are show killers, by the way. It's like my worst fear for April 7th. Don't let it snow, please. Anyways, and so I had to find a new venue. And we were like, you know what? I couldn't find anywhere in Bowmanville, Oshawa, Whitby. Nobody had the space. Nobody had the date. At the time, I didn't have the money to put into it. Like to cover an ice pad was like $20,000+ they wanted to charge us in Bowmanville, like all this stuff. And back then it was more still a tackle swap still. It hadn't grown to the trade show part that it is today. So long story short, I said, let's go to Peterborough. There's a memorial building up there. I've been to events in it in the past. Booked the memorial building. Get it all going, got full of exhibitors, and then COVID breaks out. And the shutdown for COVID, if you guys all remember, the first one in 2020 happened basically 2 days before the show. So we had all this money tied up. We had all the vendors' money, all this marketing money that we'll never get back. And I had to cancel the show. Like, obviously, the government made us cancel the show. But at that time, none of us knew what COVID was, and we're all freaking out. We had to cancel the show. Rescheduled, couldn't go. Rescheduled, couldn't go. Rescheduled, like on and off for 3 years, couldn't go. Finally, we got the restrictions that we were going to get told to go. We had to move it. We had a date, had to move it again by a week. We had to go up against the Sportsman show at the time. It wasn't anything we wanted to do, because we always want to see all shows be successful. We didn't want to go against them, but I had to go that weekend. We had no choice. That was the only date the building was going to give us. So literally, we ran the day before the mask restrictions and all that fun stuff was lifted. And our little tackle swap ended up having a lineup 2.5 kilometers long to get in the door. So yeah,
we were waiting in that line.
I remember it vividly.
So So it was a little strange because first off, the way that worked was weird. I went out, we were opening at 10 because it's like, oh, it's taco swap. We'll open at 10 a.m. We'll be done by 2. Like, it was nothing crazy. I remember going out there at like 9:30 and nobody was in line. And I was like pretty disappointed. I was like, this really sucks. Like all this hard work and like we can't even get 30 people. And then like 20 minutes later, Joan Hunter comes and grabs me. He was working the door for me. She's like, have you looked outside? I'm like, no, I look outside. It was like 200 people in line. I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. It's 200 people. Doors open in 10 minutes. And then it was like everybody decided to come at 10 a.m. at once. And next thing you knew, we had a lineup that was like the biggest lineup Peterborough has ever seen. And I like, that's not an exaggeration. Like I have stats, I have videos to back this up. So my buddy went out with his truck, drove around the block. It was 2.5 kilometers long. We had the building full. The building guys are coming to us saying, you can't let any more people in. You're at maximum capacity. The fire marshal was there giving me a hard time, all sorts. So we had to like let people in 10 at a time, 10 at a time, 10 at a time. It was crazy. So what's funny though, about that being a tackle swap, it actually looked really good. Like the vendors showed up, you know, hey, first show back since COVID, they delivered. Like that show was amazing. And I'm sitting there and I kind of just knew this was like going to grow into something bigger. And I actually had the CanCast name in the back of my head picked out before we even opened the doors for that show. But that's another story. So anyway, show was a super success. Got a lot of hate mail too, because people about the lineup and stuff. But hey, like no one expected that. Nobody. And people also told us multiple times, from multiple people, even in the industry, that a fishing show will never work in Peterborough. And I'm like, that's crazy talk. Like there's like, that's in the heart of the Kawarfas. I'll market it, blah, blah. It worked. And then I got all the hate mail. Like it's only busy because it's COVID, blah, blah, this and that. And when someone like challenges me, I take it very seriously. I love competition. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll prove you wrong. And I'm like, let's rent both buildings. So that was a time where me and my wife decided to put a whole bunch of money into it, rent all those buildings. It's a huge upfront cost. You know, obviously we had to change the dynamic of the show. I'm like, let's do more of a trade show. We'll still have a tackle swap portion. This is a huge hit, but I want to do a trade show for like all these custom bait makers, like Canadian bait makers, guys that are building stuff in their basements. And the big thing was, let's put brands in front of people that you can't buy in a store every day. And it went crazy. We sold it out last year. I stick to my saying, we have no fillers. That's the big thing on how I market CanCast. No fillers. I will not let a vendor into the show unless you're selling or showing fishing stuff. So needless to say, it went off like a hitch. We had the whole line under control last year. We had a huge lineup again. We moved the whole line through in 20 minutes. And this year we have a plan to do that even quicker. And we can get into that a little bit later. But yeah, that's kind of how it exploded in a nutshell. And it just kind of went from there. And now we have this beast under us that we're like, I'm not going to lie, it's a little overwhelming. I don't sleep much, especially from like November to April, because I stare at the ceiling lots and forget to do stuff, or oh, I screwed that up, or forgot to call that guy back. Or it's really something, because it's a side project that literally could be a full-time job almost. So
I was going to say, like you purchased the Bowmanville Tackle Swap from a guy who's like, it got too big for me as a tackle swap. And then you took it and just exploded it into CanCast on top of your full-time job as your side thing.
Yeah, for sure. And it really like turned into, I never really meant to go that way. And I definitely didn't have any plans on like going head to head with any other shows. So first off, I want to go on record and say this. I love all shows. We attend them with our other brands. I love all the shows we attend. I want all those shows to be successful. It's great for the vendors, the dealers. I want to see crowds. It's good for fishing. I don't want people to think we want the only show. Like that is not our way of doing business. Our whole thing was, we wanted to sell like the social side of fishing. So one of the taglines we use is like, hey guys, this is the biggest party in fishing. Cause it's kind of like a fun, like social party while you're there. Like it's literally like talking to bait makers and buying stuff and a high energy and like music's pumping and, you know, videos playing, and that's kind of what we wanted. It was just like, it's going to be a different feel than kind of maybe some of the more corporate showy shows. And I think we did a pretty good job at getting that effect last year, personally.
I would definitely say that, like, you made a good point of saying it's like getting away from the corporate feel of the shows. And I know that when you go to other places and it can almost feel like every booth is their own space and that's it. They want to be the only thing that you're looking at. Whereas in CanCast, yeah. I know that, I'm sure Jesse would attest to this too, but you walk through and like everyone is so close, not in the sense of like, oh, it's super cramped, but it's because everyone is so close. When you're there, you're talking to this booth, you're looking over, you're looking at the booth right across the way, you're walking over there, you're wandering all around, and no one's getting upset that you are leaving my booth and going to his. Like everyone's there. Like we're all excited just to be shopping around. Yeah. So it's, for it's sure. I really like that side of it. It's a very different feel than your average, you know, sportsman show experiments, let's say, just because that's the most common one people could relate to possibly.
I feel like it is a completely different feel from me not being, you know, you, Kyle. When I walk in, we go to all the shows, all the ones we can, like, you know, the sportsman show, the Toronto Fishing and Boat Show, yep. The outdoor show, like all those shows. We love going to them. Like you said, the more shows, the better. I'm not going to complain if there's more fishing shows. Like, wow, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, competition is good, right? It helps everyone have to step up their game. But when you go into some of these shows, they're all great. But the feel of CanCast for me is completely different. It's like being in line at Disneyland.
Yeah.
We're just like, we're so excited. You're in line and you see people just talking to the people in front and behind. And then once you get in through that door, it's just like, oh, and it's just like all this stuff and it's insane. And you're just like, what do I look at first? It's crazy. Like every single booth is something I want to look at,
yeah.
Which I can't say for some of the other shows, but we're not going to get into that as much, but it is insane. Me and Andrew there last year, we were there for 10 hours. And I was like, oh, we're closed. Oh man, like I could have been there much longer. We talked to
so many
people. We were
still running around in the last 10 minutes still trying, yeah. like running the guy. I still have this cash, like, oh, here's the tackle swap section. I want to, yep. buy that lure still.
But not only was like it was a great place to buy stuff, but for me, the community there, it was a different experience. Like you're meeting with all these people that not only are there to, you know, show off their product and you know, sell some stuff, but they're also, they love fishing. You love fishing. They love fishing. Everyone there that is at CanCast is obsessed with fishing. And you're just in this building full of thousands of people that love fishing. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just like this weird fishy sense. It's amazing.
It's crazy. And that's the one thing everybody says is like the energy in there is insane. Like everybody in there is a fishing nut. Right? Like it's like, it is the craziest thing. Like from like the cottage angler to the guy in the back lake, the kayak to the bass boat guy, it is like the coolest feeling. And the way we do this show is it is all about the vendors for us, obviously the attendees, but like I look at it as a partnership. So we do use the vendors booth space to help us cover the costs, which we have to. This is business. We have to market, rent the building, insure it, do all the stuff, pay the staff, rent the fencing. It's not cheap to put on the show, but you know, we work with like the gate money and vice versa. And we just keep reinvesting it to build a better show for the next year. And I think everybody wins with that. So the vendors all seem to be like super appreciative of our formula. When I sent the sheet out for this year, I literally had like in 8 hours, it was like everybody hit me back. We're coming. Here's our deposit. It was insane. Like it was such a good feeling to know like we delivered. And, you know, it's always partnership. I always say, look, as promoters, our job is to pack the building. We will do everything we can. We will market. We will work with our friends, our influencers, whatever. But you guys as vendors have to bring the goods. If you have an empty booth or you didn't do your job and make a bunch of baits, I probably won't invite you back next year. Like, you know what I mean? Like you don't just show up with you're there to sell stuff as a vendor and they know it. And those are the vendors we want to work with. And that's what's so cool about it is there's so many people there to talk to that like, you're never going to see their stuff in a store, but it's probably way better than like the swim jig you can buy at Bass Pro that these guys are making. You know what I mean? Like it's just, it's incredible the amount of talent we have in custom bait makers in Ontario. It's wild. And don't get us wrong, we still have the big corporate companies there supporting as well. Like we have the Shimanos and the Daiwas of the world with corporate booths there showing off new products. We have the Garmins, the Lewes, the St. Croix, Under Armour's coming, Hook's coming this year. We have all these big brands as well. Bubba, we can't forget about Bubba. They really stepped up this year. So we kind of have a bit of everything. So that's what I'm excited about. It just keeps kind of evolving every year. The vendors are all stepping up again. They're getting better booths. They're making better backdrops. They're making better displays. Like this isn't something that, and why I look at it as a partnership, these vendors don't just like throw stuff in a truck the week before. They're working on this stuff all year around.
I was talking to one of the vendors actually about some of his baits. It's crazy. He's already, like I'm already talking like, hey, like, are you going to bring this to the show? Are you going to bring that? He's like, dude, I am so swamped. I'm bringing like these two things that I'm just working hard to get them ready. And it's still a couple months away.
Yeah. We're like Wes at Wham Baits. He's been working on his baits for the CanCast since probably like the month after the last CanCast.
Nah, he's a machine, man. He's a beauty. Like he's just such a good guy. But like there's so many of them there. And I always try to like get a little bit of FaceTime with each of them throughout the show. I'm a little busy. But they're all this awesome people. Like, I honestly, we don't have any bad apples. We had one bad apple last year who's not invited back. We won't go into details on it. But like, literally, we just won't tolerate it. No, it's all about the people. It's about, let's make the whole industry successful. and that formula worked. Like, even for example, like my biggest competitors in my day job, they all have booths there because we know it's all about the fishing industry and we all get along for one, but it's about, let's just get together and have amazing time talking fishing without any politics. And that's what we do.
That's awesome. So you're talking about a lot about how, like you said, you're growing the show every single year, you're reinvesting into it. So what are some of the things that you are doing to enhance the experience for people this year? What are some changes that they can kind of look forward to seeing?
Yeah. So this year, if you're an attendee, as you guys know, we had a lineup problem. The year one wasn't intentional. So we like stepped up, spent the money, used the Mem Center's box office, their staff, their people to address that problem. And we got those lineups in very quick last year. This year, we're going to run two entrances. We're going to run on each building. So you're going to be able to go line up at the Memorial Building as well as line up at the Memorial Center, gate one. That way, if you want to go to the tackle swap first or whatever, I don't like when people are like, I want to be in the main building. I hate that. I argue with vendors on all the time. There is no main building. They're both built huge buildings. They both have great vendors in both of them. I spread them out the best way I can. There's no main building. I think your biggest decision is what building do I want to start in? Because there's so much good stuff in both, right? So that's going to be one of the things we're going to do. So that means if we have the same lineup we've had years past, that means that whole lineup should move in 10 minutes as long as the line is split in half. You're in the door. You're only going to wait in line long as if you show up at 6 a.m. to be first in line, which people do. People camp out overnight. Like, it's nuts. It's awesome. That's one thing. The other thing is we've always been known as a tackle show, and that's like the way we want to stay. But we do have a bigger outside area this year that's going to be full of boats. So we have guys coming from StarCraft, Legend boats. We have Triton and Ranger boats coming. Power Garage is coming with Skeeter. We also have, I'm just going to say it. I don't know if I'm supposed to say it, but I'm going to say it. We have Vexus boats coming too, but we're going to launch the Icon. I don't know if you guys heard Icon bass boats. They're crazy. They're like $200,000 bass boats. The official launch for them at Canada is going to be at CanCast. And they are some of the most beautiful boats you've ever seen.
So you're saying I can look and dream.
But they're gorgeous. Like, they have like live well cooling systems in them. Like, they're nuts. So you'll be able to like speak to the Icon rep and check all that out. There's also like, if boats is your thing, there's like beautiful bass boats like Skeeter. I'm a Skeeter guy. Vexus has some absolutely gorgeous boats. Obviously the Skeeters, but I'm a little biased. I really like my Skeeters. So we'll have aluminum boats too. And what we also will have is we will have the biggest section of kayak fishing related stuff than any show by far. So we have Frontenac Outfitters coming with a bunch of accessories and kayaks. We have Fogue Marine coming with a bunch of kayaks and accessories. We have OKBT there. We have Dawes King. We have Live Outdoors, which is Bonafide and Native kayaks coming. We have Kayak Bass Canada coming. We have a whole bunch of, I'm missing somebody. I know I am. I'm sorry. But we have like, if your kayak fishing is your thing, this is definitely the show for you, for sure.
That's amazing, because I'm actually looking to get a kayak next year, and I've been doing a lot of research, and I was talking to one of my buddies who is a huge Native kayak guy.
Yep.
And there's nowhere around here that sells them that I could find, like in my area. And he's like, oh, you got to check out this Native Titan X. It's a sick, it's like a bass, you know, bass boat on a kayak. And I was like, I want to see it before I even start thinking about it. But now knowing that Native's going to be there, that's amazing.
Yeah, there's one dealer in Ontario. I believe Live Outdoors is the only dealer. He's in Bracebridge, and he's coming to CanCast with the Native and the Titan. So that's going to be a good one, because I've always liked Native kayaks myself, so I'm pretty excited to kind of see that. So shout out to Peter for coming. Morton at Fogue Marine, he always brings all the good Hobies and stuff like that. So that's how we're going to do it. We want to make sure there's something there for everybody. So we're going to have tackle covered, electronics, boats, fishing rods, reels, like you name it, lures. It's all going to be there. Like, we floor planned last night, me and Leanne, we're working on the floor plan. I should hold it up, get all the vendors all quick, because I don't let anybody choose where they go. They all send me emails and say where they want to be, this and that. I don't give them a choice, because our biggest problem is I can't fit everybody. Like, we have so many vendors that want in, I literally can't put them in the show. Like, I'm out of space. So unfortunately, like, we don't mean it in like a dictatorship sort of way. It's just, hey guys, we're going to design the show the way we feel fit. And, you know, we're trying to make it fair for everybody. And I can honestly say, and maybe you guys can back me up on this, I don't feel like there's a bad spot in the building anywhere, either building.
I was actually about to say that. So like in other trade shows that I've been to, there's usually a spot where I look, I'm like, oh, that I have no interest in that. I can't afford any of what's over there. I'm just not going to go. And so there's whole swaths of stuff I won't look at. And I apologize for anyone who might be like stuck in between of those sections. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry that I missed you. And I have never experienced that in CanCast. And I will say, I want to make it very clear to anyone who's listening to this podcast. There was multiple times last year where we'd be walking between one of the two buildings there. And they're like, oh, what are you doing? We're going from the other building. Like, there's another building? Like, people didn't realize there's a whole second building. Like, another half of the show is over there.
Yeah.
So, like, wander everything. And I don't know if anyone's, like, super organized with how they walk around, like, a store or the exhibition when they go or something. CanCast is one of those things where you do a grid pattern and you walk, you know, both directions up every single aisle, no matter which direction they face. Like, you will keep finding new things every single time you walk by a booth. It's crazy.
We kind of walk like a pinball machine. It's like ding, 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 ding. And then we ended up going through the first building, walking to the second building, coming back and forth maybe two or three times. It was insane.
I think if you guys could get like a full-time cameraman to follow you two around at that show, it would be like the best reality TV fishing show ever. It'd be great. Like, just get them to follow you guys for 8 hours. No editing, just like, you know, Mike, you guys, it would be hilarious. Like, because you guys just, you talk to everybody and everybody wants to talk to you. So it's pretty crazy. So I want to say this. And like, again, this isn't against any other show. I love all the other shows, but everything we say is true. We have more square footage than any other fishing only show in Canada. And it's all fishing. So if you take both buildings combined and the outside area, it's literally going to be more square footage. And 90% of that is fishing tackle, not boats. So we have more square footage. So like, arguably I can sit and say, this is Canada's largest fishing show. And I'm totally okay to back that up. I dare somebody to challenge me. So fishing only related show, no fillers, no hunting, no outdoor stuff. It's fishing. And that's it. I won't even let you sell fish slippers at it. I don't even care if they look like fish. No slippers.
Because I'm sure we've all been to some of the other shows and there's fishing stuff, but then you go towards the back and it's just like neon signs, granola bars, just stuff like that. Not interested. If you've never gone to CanCast, I've had a lot of people over the last 2 years ask me, like, is it worth going to CanCast? Because maybe they live a bit farther. And I'll tell them, it is, in my opinion, the best fishing show I've ever been to. It's definitely worth the drive. And we were talking to people last year that drove all the way from Ottawa. We were talking to people that drove all the way from Windsor. And they were like, you know what? This is fantastic. I'm going to come again next year.
I'm pretty sure we met a couple who flew in from Alberta. Like, they were over here and they're like, we're going to go.
Yeah, we have people. We have a busload coming from New Brunswick this year. Like, a fishing organization's like loading a bus up and coming for the weekend. Like, it's just that they're like, we heard about this. We got to come. And yes, we do have a tackle swap side, which is amazing. Like, I would argue too, it's the biggest tackle swap because it's like 60 something tables on itself. So it's bigger than most of the other ones. But the guys that come to this tackle swap, they prepare all year for this one. So there's like some gems in it, but it's also a full trade show. So like, you're going to have guides, fishing tackle, all that stuff there, right? That's just kind of what it was. I just felt like with our value, okay, you're $16.60 plus the fees and tax to get in this show. Yes, you're under $20. But you're also getting access to the whole show for the day and four amazing seminars, which we're going to announce in the next like week or so. The knowledge that one of these seminars is going to give you is worth the pop alone. Not to mention, your ticket is also going to be your raffle ticket. We're going to give away like at least $15,000 this year in fishing stuff leading up to the show. Like, at least. It might be more. We're still putting it all together. But like, literally, like, we're going to give away like Garmin Live Scopes one day. And like, it's $1,000 a day. Like, it's insane. Just by buying a ticket. It's like a raffle ticket for $16. Cool. Like, and people won last year and were like so pumped. They're like, you mean I want a Garmin unit? I'm like, yeah, just like, for why? I bought a ticket. Yeah. Like, you're the winner. Like, it was just crazy. They're like, holy crap. That's the best $16 I've ever spent. Like, it's amazing. It's just, we really try to give back. And kids are free for one. If you're bringing your family, kids are free under 12. And I tell you right now, all the kids walk out with so much free stuff. It's ridiculous. Like, bags full. The vendors are amazing when it comes to kids.
I was just going to call back to, you said something earlier where when people said it wouldn't work in Peterborough, and you said when somebody, something challenges you, you really, you know, you try to prove them wrong. Well, I challenge you that you will not fix that so that I win a live scope. That's a direct challenge.
So, be honest with you, I can't fix it. The Memorial Center box office actually pulls the ticket. So we have a third party do it. There's all sorts of rules and all that stuff on it, Privacy Act. So I don't even pull the ticket. No one from CanCast pulls it. The Mem Center box office pulls it randomly. So
that's awesome.
That's how we do it.
Which is great. Everyone knows it's fair.
Yeah, it's only fair. Perfect. Trust me, I'd rig it for you, Andrew, because I like you. But no, I'm kidding. Oh, did I say that on the air? No.
just to jump back to the tackle swap, I thought we could talk about that for a sec. Because that, I'd have to say probably that's one of me and Andrew's favorite parts, because like Andrew is a huge fan and collector of older and antique lures. I don't know if you knew that.
So I bought antique lures at it last year, like in frames. I shop them. Oh, yeah. The time. It's great.
And they have, like, Andrew, get into that a bit. But every time I go to CanCast, for me, one of the main things I look for is musky lures, because the tackle swap, you'd be surprised how cheap you can find some of these lures for. It's ridiculous. Like, we'll go through the aisles of the tackle swap and it's, you know, it's crowded. There's just tables everywhere with all kinds of fishing stuff, rods, reels, lures, tackle boxes, fish finders, like everything. And every time we went through, we found something else. It seems like they just have boxes underneath the table. They keep just bringing new stuff out. So you have to keep going through. I found like for instance, this Suic is like $45-$50 at the store. I got this for $10. $10.
Yeah, they do. They keep to, and or they'll go back out to their van and like refill.
Yeah.
It's wild. Like it's seriously insane. Like the gems you'll find. I got a guy coming this year, or he's supposed to come. I'm trying to firm up with him this week. And he says he has like three tables full of Megabass Vision 110s. Like that's all he has to sell. Ooh. Like that many. So like you guys know you're going to pick those up for $10 instead of 40. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's insane.
Yeah.
It's stuff like that. Musky stuff is huge in the swap. I don't know why we got asked more about musky stuff leading up to the show last year than we did anything else. And there is a ton of musky vendors.
I got a sick reel 2 CanCasts ago, I think. I got this Daiwa CVZ. I don't know if you remember these old ones, Kyle.
Yeah, yeah.
These are old. If you have one of these, you're probably old. But every time I walked by this guy, he had this reel and I'm a lefty and it was a lefty. And I was like, oh, I love round reels. It's a beautiful reel. I pick it up. I reeled it a few times. I put it down. I was like, nah, I don't need it. I came back. I picked up again. I reeled it. And the guy's like, the second time, you sure you don't want it? And I was like, I don't need it. I came back the third time. He's like, give me $30 for it. And I was like, sold. So there are some killer deals on stuff that, again, not only just saving money, but stuff that you'd never be able to find in the store because it's older stuff, like the good quality old stuff you can get at the Taxo. I absolutely love it. I like spend almost all my money there, but there's so much other stuff to buy. It's crazy.
Yeah, so like I want to address a couple things on that topic while you're at it. One, almost everything in the show is for sale. Almost. Like almost every booth is selling something. So that's another thing too. Two, I get a lot of like people complaining about the crowds and stuff. So two things on that. One, we need the shows to be busy for vendors to be successful. If the shows aren't busy, vendors aren't going to do the work to come out to them and do it. And we just won't have any show in general. And also if like crowds aren't your thing, it does really thin out after the first couple hours. Like once you get through that initial rush, and the better deals are actually at the end of the day because guys don't want to take it home. Nobody wants to. Everything that they bring to that show, they want to liquidate, right? So like, don't be scared to come at 2 o'clock or 1 p.m. or noon or 3 o'clock or whatever and think you missed the show. That place was like hustling until literally we say, hey guys, time to go.
I got a big musky bait last time I was there and it was brand new in box. I was looking at it for a bit and then I had picked up a couple old vintage lures from one of the other booths. I spent $30 on 4 different old baits. And then he was like, oh, I really like this Smithwick's Devil Horse. Do you have any of those? I haven't had one in years. And he's like, oh yeah, here, it gives me another lure. I'm like, that's amazing. And then I had like $10 left and I'm walking back through as everyone's packing up at the tackle swap. And I see this musky lure that was hiding behind something. I don't know. I had never seen it. It's new in package. It's beautiful, beautiful bait. I told the guy, I'm like, that's sick. And like the price tag on it is like $30. I'm like, I have 10. He's like, it's yours. Like you say, at the end of the day, like these guys, they're willing to let a little bit go. But I think everyone's like super excited. So we're all in a good mood.
Yeah, for sure. So like, I want people to just understand that haven't been there. It would be arguably the largest trade show and it would arguably be the largest tackle swap as well combined. So that's what we want people to understand. Like that's what you're getting for the value of getting in the door. So like I said, we are ready for any kind of crowd control this year. Like we are learning new stuff every year. And last year went off like pretty good without a hitch. Honestly, it was pretty smooth. But like, this isn't like we just show up and like set some stuff up. Like we are preparing for this year round. So like we are ready for you guys. Like honestly, if you can like walk around the show and be like, I am extremely disappointed, I didn't find a single thing I like, come up to me, I'll give you your money back. But I highly doubt you're gonna feel that way.
I agree. I say it as a safe bet. You're mentioning some of the vendors and stuff like that, or some of the sponsors and stuff for the show this year. Are there any, for those who have been in years past, we kind of know who we're expecting to see again and some of the awesome guys. Like we talked about Wes, like I was mentioning Hashimoto Concepts a little while ago when I was talking about him and those baits he's working on. Are there any other perhaps new vendors that we haven't seen before that are coming this year that we can look forward to?
Yeah, I touched on a lot of them like kind of already, like some of those kayak guys for one. We got a couple new awesome clothing brands coming too. We have like Corf Outdoor Apparel. We have the Curious Outdoors, Shannon. She's really cool. Every purchase, she donates something to Canada Mental Health Society. So she's awesome. We got Adam from Say Doggy Fishing. I think I said that right. His book, the Smallmouth River book. I just ordered it today actually from him. I don't even know the proper.
The Mighty Smallmouth. Yes,
that one. I actually just ordered a copy last night and he texted me today, said he shipped it. So I'm pretty pumped to read that. So yeah, we got all sorts of stuff like that, boats. Honestly, there's a bunch of new vendors. I don't have the vendor list, so I do have the floor plan here actually. There's a bunch of them. But the other thing I want you guys to understand too is even if like there's same vendors there, a lot of them have changed their booths. They've like gone bigger or like they've got new products coming or stuff like that. So I think there's just going to be a huge assortment. Like obviously check out Bubba. Bubba's really stepped up as a title sponsor. They're going to give us a ton of stuff to give away in that. Whether you like scales, scissors, knives, whatever, nets, that Bubba stuff is literally, I know I'm biased, Bubba, I love Bubba, but it is like top quality stuff. So I'm pretty excited for that.
I was browsing their website. They do have some pretty cool stuff, like some stuff that I don't commonly see in stores, sure. But they regularly stock. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. The Rapala Crush City stuff's going to be there. So let me back up because I was going to say like X-Zone and St. Croix and all, but here's the thing about where our show lands that is different compared to other shows. We're right after the Bassmaster Classic, so we get all the new product launches. So if you went to any of the other shows before ours, there's no new product really. There's a few things that get released early, but like most of the new product gets launched at the Bassmaster Classic, which means CanCast is like the official launch in Canada for most of those products because we're like a week after, 2 weeks after the way Easter falls this year. So like you can come see all the new product first, which is really cool. There's lots of cool stuff like that. Reels, plastics, all that stuff that gets launched at the Classic. Under Armour is going to have some cool stuff on display. Hook is actually having a massive clearance. If like you like Hook fishing jerseys and all that stuff, this is the show to go to for that. So they got a whole bunch of cool stuff coming. But yeah, like I'm excited about it. Also, the first 100 people in line, I'm going to put this in quotes because we haven't exactly ironed out the detail, but it's going to be like the first 50 at each building or the first 100 in each line. I got to figure that out, but you know, if you're in the top 50, you're guaranteed a pack of baits from American Baitworks. So that's nice. Pretty cool. Your first 100 people in line, you're going to get a $10 pack of baits right away. Like you're already winning. Like it's the whole show is about winning. I don't really think anyone's going to be upset when they leave the building. I really don't.
The only one that's going to be upset is your wallet, but that's okay.
Yeah, it will be upset, but then it will also be happy because you'll realize how much money you actually saved on everything when you got home. And you can tell the wife, you're like, this is an investment. I always find if I buy something, I can convince her it's an investment, then like I'm off the hook, right? Like boats, you buy a boat, like they've been kind of going up in price the last few years. It's not bad.
So. I know we always leave the show with like a heavy backpack just loaded with stuff. And it's like, yeah, it's like, wow, I spent a lot. But at the same time, I would have left with half of this if I was, you know, did a shopping spree at a store. But we talked a lot about what you're doing and all the effort that you put in to stay busy and make this show like awesome for other people. But I wanted to ask you, like when you, I know you're running around day of, I know you already mentioned you're very busy day of as expected, but do you get to enjoy the show like day of, and what's your favorite part of the show when you're there?
So yes, both times we've done the show, I've enjoyed the day of, because if it goes the way it's supposed to go, we had a couple hiccups last year. You guys witnessed one of them. I kind of lost my cool. But other than that, I got over that moment and I pulled my. But I also didn't sleep because we had this massive party the night before and just bad deal. And which we're doing again, by the way, Shoeless Joe Saturday night. See you there. Everybody's invited. Seriously, it's a really good time. It's wild. But other than that, honestly, last year, I can honestly say it was one of the best days of my life. Like when you can like sense like this sounds like I don't want to say arrogant or brag. I saw a lot of hard work pay off and I saw a lot of really happy people. Like I was walking around the show and like vendors were like saying like hold your arms out and like throwing me goodie bags of stuff as like thank you. Like this went over and above our expectations. Like thank you. Like it was amazing. I was so happy. I was probably on the highest note of my life almost Sunday night after that show last year. Because it went off about like, and like we help every vendor unload, unpack, pack up. Like we have a whole army of people and I couldn't do it without them. Like the volunteers, our full-time employees like Mark and Sean and stuff like that. I pay them weekly, very weekly. It just goes off without a hitch. My favorite part about it, honestly, seeing the lineup, it's just like, I walked outside last year, like throwing a bunch of free stuff to people in line. So we'll walk out, like if you're in line, like we just walk by, we hand out lures and like Under Armour koozies and like all this stuff, right? And like, and it's kind of like what you guys were describing before, like the excitement, like they're buzzing. Like people are like buzzing out there, right? It's like, let me in. Like, and when you open those doors, it's like the wolves. So that part's cool. I also really liked, I think you guys saw it last year, the countdown we did for the vendors for the doors opening. So unfortunately, I can only show that in the one building because they have the Jumbotron. I'm trying to get it to the second building, but like I got an even better idea for that this year. That would be the one thing if another show copied me, I'd be very upset because I feel like we kind of patented that idea. But it got all the vendors jacked up. You know, they're like countdown to like welcome to CanCast. It was just really cool. Everyone got pretty jacked. The lights were off and... But yeah, honestly, if I pick one though, the lineup, it's the most nerve-wracking thing because you're like, is anybody going to come? And then they're all there. So it's pretty cool.
Well, if Jesse and I are there early, which I think we plan to be, if you need some help just tossing some of the baits around to those in line, let us know. We love to talk to people too, but.
Yeah, there you go. We're going to put you guys to work. That's a great idea. This is why you guys need a camera guy. I feel like we got to put a camera guy with you. I feel like this would be great. Don't challenge me. I'm actually trying to find a social media person, a couple camera guys for that weekend. I got to write that down right now on my list to do. But no, we should. You guys would be great. That'd be a great like full YouTube episode for you guys. I'm telling you. You guys should do it. You guys should start like a full like you know, you guys are graduating from the podcast world. You're doing too good of a job. It's time to step it up in the TV now. Come on. Yeah. I got confidence in you.
Well, we appreciate the confidence. I wish it was shared between us too.
Okay, first of all, I'll say this to your audience that's listening. I know how much work it takes to do a podcast. And like we get one like every 5 weeks now and we don't get them because like busy. And like I love doing them. I just love it. And ours is a different field than your guys. Ours is more like laugh and joke around and, you know, odd story, the odd good guest and whatever. But you guys do a great job. And like I don't think people know like how much work it is to one, like get it done. Get it up, stick with it, stay in the algorithms, like, and you guys are crushing it. So hats off to you.
I'm actually on call tonight. So I got back like pretty much just before the podcast started from a call and I'm having to look at my work phone and make sure nothing comes in. But hey, I'm still good. So that's fine. Before we get to a few questions from our listeners, I just wanted to mention for those who listened to last week's episode, it was about weird things you can experience while fishing. So we had a bit more content than what you had heard on that episode. So there's actually a few different stories from, I know Jesse told a few stories, but I prepared a few that didn't make it to the airing. So for our Patreon members or patrons, just wanted to let you know to check the feed because there's going to be a video there with just a short clip about some of the stories of the weird things I've caught while fishing. So if I do say so myself, I think they're fairly entertaining. So you should give those a listen. Plus, if you're a Patreon member, you already have access to them. So feel free to check that out. Just wanted to put that out there. We are looking to do a bit more content to make sure that we show our appreciation as well back to our Patreon members. It might be a good time too now, speaking of the Patreon members, as to who's applicable for the giveaway for this episode. Kyle has so lovingly and generously provided a gift for you that we're going to be drawing later on. And he's going to show them right here. We got you tickets, or he's got you tickets to CanCast. And do those include being entered into the raffle as well?
So I got to go on record and say they don't, because the promo tickets don't have the ticket numbers that get pulled. So I want to make that full disclosure.
So what you can do is if you win the tickets, then you can give it to your buddy or sell it to your buddy for the price of a door fee. And then you get your own raffle ticket then when you're there.
Exactly. And you can buy tickets now. They're online, memorialcenter.ca or on our website, cancast.show. And you can buy your tickets now. And I would recommend it because when I start announcing like that, we might give away like one day a $4,000 live scope ice bundle. Does that sound good?
I'm interested.
You know, that's just one day. You know, I think you're going to wish you had a ticket. Yeah. And definitely don't wait till it starts, because every day we do it, more tickets get entered. So your odds get worse. Yes. Get what I'm saying? But when you like get your, if you're one of the first people to have their tickets, your odds are better for like the first five draws. Cause everybody waits and buys their tickets the week before, which drives me nuts. It's like, dude, just buy them if you know you're coming.
When's the first draw happen?
We will do, the plan will be, anywhere from, and I'm just ironing out a couple details because we're getting like some really good prizes. So I'm like, oh, how do I give that away? Like can I split that into two? It'll probably be like for 2 weeks leading up to the show. So like the 14 days up to the last day before the show.
Cool. All right.
So
everyone stay posted for those.
That's
then.
Kind of it. Yeah. And we'll like start posting those on our Instagram feed. I'll be posting my personal Instagram feed, which by the way, if you guys want to follow me, this is shameless. I cannot get past like 1966 followers. I am like stuck in the dead zone on Kyle.Carruthers. So please help me out. I cannot, if I could get to 2000 followers by CanCast, I would owe you guys. I would owe you guys a Bubba something.
Everyone, you need to go follow Kyle Carruthers.
Yeah, and follow the CanCast page too. It seems to be like, you guys know what it's like. Hey, you guys want more, like, you should buy some more Facebook ads, else we're going to block everybody from seeing you. Like, that's kind of where I'm at right now. They're like, oh, Meta's like, oh, yeah. Your event's coming up. Let's make sure no one sees your stuff unless you buy some ads. Like, that's where I'm dealing with. I swear, it's like I'm shadow banned. I swear.
So for this giveaway, the tickets that Kyle's giving away, that is going to be, as always, for Patreon members only. There is a whole bunch of people that support the show, which we really appreciate. We will announce the winners to that and kind of the details, because I know some of the people may not be able to get there from where they live, but we'll have all the details for that giveaway on our Patreon. So make sure you check that out after this podcast drops. So
do you have a, I know Jesse and I both have access to the list of some of the questions from our listeners or from online that they'd like to ask Kyle. So do you want to read one of the first ones there, Jesse?
Yeah. So you know what? There was a fair bit of questions, but I feel like 90% of them we covered.
We did.
I apologize now. I ramble.
No, that's okay. So. Yeah. Cause a lot of these we 100% covered. I was kind of like looking at them as we kind of went through, and I can't really see one that I'd actually want to read, but I mean, why don't we cover some of them that don't really have to do as much with CanCast, more about Kyle? How about we do those ones?
Okay.
So Phil Daniel 33, he says, when is Daiwa bringing some BFS to Canada?
Ooh.
Are you allowed to talk about that?
You should come to CanCast. You should come to CanCast, Phil.
He found a way to tie it back in. That's awesome.
Yeah, come ask me at CanCast, Phil, and I think I'll be able to put it in your hands, maybe. So I said way too much there. That's a problem.
No worries. I'll be interested in that too. So that's awesome. There's one from iCatch Dinks. He's a regular listener and commenter. So he's wondering, does Kyle find much time to get out on the water between work, family, and the farm?
Honestly, no. I think I got like 10 hours on my beautiful Skeeter this year, which is at the dealer now for sale. No,
you unfortunately, sound salty.
Yeah, I am a little upset about it. So that's like my New Year's resolution. So like the whole like 2024, it's 2024, right? Yeah, I don't even know what year it is anymore. That's how crazy I am. Is like simplify my life and fish more. So we're slowing down on the farm side here. We actually sold all our cattle just last week. So we're changing that up. And my wife is very busy with work as well. She runs a very successful real estate company. And the whole thing now is I want to spend more time with my kids. And so between work, from when I'm not traveling and jet setting everywhere, I'm going fishing. We have an awesome fish camp up in Haliburton that we don't get to enough. Want to spend some time there. I'm going back out to British Columbia. I'm taking the wife this time. We're going back to Eagle Nook Lodge, which if you guys follow us on CanCast, we told you all about that. It's awesome. And yeah, I'm going to do at least 4 derbies this year, tournaments. And I'm not a huge tournament guy. But I like to do a few just because there's so many great people at them. And the plan is to fish at least one day a week. So I have plans to fish more, but I also said this last year. So I expect all of you guys to message me on Instagram every week and hold me to it and tell me I suck if I don't and all that stuff.
We deal with a lot of the same too. It's oh, I want to fish more. And then it's always, I just don't have time.
Life as an adult, I guess.
If you want to never fish, get a job in the fishing industry. That is my recommendation. And it's not just me. It's like the same with all reps. So
yeah. Here's a good question actually from Jeff Penner Fishing. He says, roughly how many people attended CanCast last year and what are this year's predictions?
Yeah. So last year we had just over 5,000 people, not including vendors. There's like 700 vendors just there, like between like people in their booths. I don't really have a prediction for this year. I want to at least hold the same amount of people, although I do think it will be bigger. I do. I don't know. I don't like putting a number on it. But one thing also is we're not like scared to share our numbers. Most shows won't tell you their numbers. And I think if you take like, you know, almost 6,000 people or between 5,000 and 6,000 people and say like we put that through there in 8 hours, like that's a lot of freaking people. Like you don't realize how many people that is till you see them in one spot, right? A lot of shows don't do that in 3 days. And that's another thing we'll address. Like everyone's like, why isn't it 2 days? It's so busy. I get so much hate mail. I get some really nasty messages. Like it's absolutely crazy. You should see some. I'll send some to you guys off the record to like laugh still at the sometimes. But like it doesn't work that way. Like if I have to go to the vendors and be like, hey, we're going to do 2 days. I got to double your booth price because I have to rent the building longer. I have to insure it longer, blah, blah, blah. I have to staff it longer. You're going to make the same amount of profit because the second day is going to be dead. Because that's just how they all go at these shows.
You may get 15% more people coming through the doors, but you're doubling everything else in the cost. Yeah,
exactly. They all want 1 day. They like the high energy. Yeah. They like the party. So that's it. So yeah, I don't want to put a prediction on it, but I definitely think there'll be some growth, but I think it's going to be, you know, like, I don't want people to be intimidated. Like, I'm not going because it's too busy. I get that all the time. It's like, dude, like it won't be like it's going to be way better. Like, you know, like that first hour where like that first building was like so ingested. Now if running two entrances, like that should help flow that out way nicer. So like there's a plan in place. It really is. So
running a big show like this obviously isn't something easy. There's so much preparation involved in running such a large event with so many gears in motion. You know what I mean? So every year it seems like whatever, you know, issues you're seeing the next year, you know, you're doing the best that you can do to make things flow more smoothly. So, you know, like there was a huge line the next year, it wasn't as, you know, wasn't as bad. The next year, you know, it gets better. There's two exits or entrances. So like every time, every year the show is becoming better and better. And like, you're not the only one noticing these things. Like every time we run in, we'd notice like, oh, you know, we didn't have to wait in line as long. Like the first year, yeah, we were stuck in that huge line and we didn't expect the line to be that big. Like we were walking down from the parking lot and we just kept walking. We're like, holy smokes, this is crazy. But the next year, nothing like that at all. So I just like to say good job on like, you know, proactively making the show better every single year.
No, I appreciate that. And that's this thing is like, how can we like raise the bar? Like we don't sit here from a standpoint like we're the show. We're not. But we want everyone to know that they're going to come and have a good time. I take criticism well. The only time I get frustrated is when people send me a message and they have absolutely zero idea like what they're talking about, right? Like, and you get the odd guy that posts like, I waited in line for an hour last year. And it's like, the only way you waited in line for an hour is if you were there before the doors opened, and that's completely out of my control. But if you walked in after 9:20, you walked right into the building last year and we opened at 9. So that's where I don't like, I get on there and I correct people and, you know, I maybe should just let it go, but I have no problem like messaging. So like last year though, so the year before, like when we first did it, I got like a million, like that was the best fishing show I've ever seen. And I got like 1,000 people saying like, we are pieces of crap. You did that line on purpose, unorganized. What do you mean unorganized? If you're in a lineup, clearly you're in an organized line. So there's nothing about it being unorganized. We just can't fit you in the building. You know, it was absolutely insane. Like I saved a lot of comments because I'm like, people are crazy. And then last year I was like waiting for the show to end and it did. And I went home that night and I said to my wife, I had like, there's like 100 Facebook messages on the CanCast Facebook page, like another 100 on the Instagram page. And I'm like, all right, here we go. Like, let's wait for the negative feedback or whatever. Literally, I got one message who said that I was too busy. And it was all these people messaging us saying, that was the best fishing show I've ever been to. That was amazing. Unbelievable. I can't believe what I got. Like, it was literally just like some of the best comments. And I was just so happy. Like, it was all positive. Like, people were literally took the time to message us to say like, and these aren't people that like follow us. These are the people like, hey, I heard it on the radio when I came, like that was amazing. My kid got all this, or I bought like, and like, we were just pumped. Like we went to bed that night, like pumped on adrenaline. Cause we like, everything just went so well. It was good. It was good that way.
So Jesse has a little bit of housekeeping as this episode went pretty fast. I don't know if it went for that fast for our listeners, but it's an exciting topic for me and Jesse. So I'm like, that went quick.
And just to add to that, before we get into the housekeeping is, we're really looking forward to CanCast. Obviously it's our favorite fishing show that we go to, and we're looking forward to meeting so many people that, you know, we've seen or met at CanCast originally, or just people that we follow on social media. It's so good to put a face to the name. Mm-hmm. And we were walking around last year and the year before, and like people would be like, oh, hey, you're Andrew. And Andrew would be like, yeah. So it is nice to meet all these people that in a situation where you probably would never meet them. So that's one of the things that we're excited for.
That's exactly what I sound like in real life too, just so you're aware.
Yeah.
You guys should do a seminar.
Yeah.
How yeah. to be average.
How to be a good podcaster. That would be good. I'll go. I'll come. I'll
watch. There'd be like 100 seats and two people listening. Like, hi.
You know what? Okay, I'm going to put a challenge out there for your listeners. I think it's a little late this year, but I have room if you want to do it. I think in 2025, average hunter angler should do a live seminar at the show for your listeners.
Sure. We're down.
Is that, I think you guys would be a hit.
We'll talk. We'll talk. Our pricing is pretty high.
2025 is going to be a very big year for you at CanCast.
We'll send you our quote later. It's not cheap. It's a live scope. Let's just say
we can work that out. Don't add any zeros. Okay.
Okay. All right. So we have some housekeeping. We are kind of in a review war against some of the other podcasts. Definitely not Kyle's, but other ones. So we do appreciate you leaving us a review. That's really good. It helps us go higher in the ranking charts on Apple, which is awesome. I was actually just looking at the podcast Apple rating charts today because I'm a nerd and I like to look at that. And right now, I'm sure if you're looking at it now, it's way lower. We're number 4 in all of Canada in wilderness.
That's awesome. Good for you guys.
It's Meat Eater, some other random podcasts, and us. That's awesome. But yeah, love it. Thanks for everyone listening, for all the support. But one thing we have to mention is last week we did that episode called Bullfrogs Ate the Bigfoot, which is honestly one of my favorite episodes that we've ever done. And there was some messaging in there about the risks of goldfish getting into our ponds, rivers, and lakes. We did mention some of the things that you should do if you see a goldfish or if you catch a goldfish. And we're just giving you guys a reminder. If you didn't do that survey that we mentioned, I'm going to link it below in the show notes. There's a super quick survey that you can do, which basically helps the Invasive Species Center track and deal with these goldfish so that they don't become a problem. So they want to basically know how common it is to catch goldfish in Ontario and Canada. So if you do see one or catch one, or if you have seen one or caught one, definitely check out the link below. And as well, if you do catch one, you can also report it on EDMAPS. Remember we said EDMAPS, Andrew? I was like, I don't know what the heck it stands for. It stands for Early Detection Distribution Mapping System that you can use on your phone so you can report these things. So make sure you do that. We really appreciate it. I know a bunch of people have already and they told us that they did, so that's awesome. But if you haven't done it already, please do that. Just a reminder. That's it, Andrew. That's all the housekeeping.
Awesome. Well, thank you again to obviously our amazing patrons. Patrons? That's such a weird word for me. I don't know. Jesse and I always struggle with it, but we really appreciate you, even though I can't say your name. But also all of our awesome listeners who are listening every single week. We really appreciate you guys and telling your friends about it. You know, even if you, register a view, that's awesome. And spreading word of mouth. We have so many people where they've contacted us and said, you know, how they've heard us from you guys recommending us. So we really appreciate all of that support. Before we go, we have one last thing and we're going to have Kyle tell us what the quote of the week is for this episode.
Oh, quote of the week.
On the spot.
You know what? Is it have to be a fishing quote or can it just be like a quote?
It can just be whatever.
Man, I wasn't prepared for this, guys. You guys can't do this to me.
None of us are.
Seminar canceled.
All right. Work hard, be a good person, and fish more. That's how I'm going to live my 2024. That's my quote.